Like so many of you, we battle depression during life's many ups and downs.
Music has always been there to help us through the tough times that we all face.
Follow us on our journey as we discuss the healing power of music.
Interview artists and bands.
Break down genres and music news.
Review artist biographies.
And much, much more.
You're listening to the When Words Fail Music Speaks Podcast. Hey, everybody. Welcome back to the When Words Fail Music Speaks Podcast, where we fight depression with the power of music. I'm your professional handicapped host, James Cox, and I have another interview today. This guy's great. You got to hear him, you know. So, but let me tell you about it first, okay? Craig Jamison, I hope I'm saying it right. Am I saying that right?
You are, yeah.
Perfect, because sometimes I get confused, you know. So, Craig Jamison is the creative force behind the Canadian pop rock act, Craig Jamison and the Lucky Windmore Band. I hope I pronounced that right, too. Known for bringing 80s synth nostalgia with modern hooks and an unforgettable live energy, but with a mission-driven approach, both on stage and in mental health advocacy, Craig music sparks connection, movement, and meaning. Craig, welcome to the show. How are you doing?
Hey, James. I'm good. Thanks for having me.
Good, man. Good. Yeah, it's always to, I've talked to you ever since Caden Gordon put us together, you know?
Yep.
Yeah.
Caden's awesome.
Yeah.
He does a lot of radio promo for me and other things.
He does, yeah. He does a lot of promo for, like, almost everybody that I know. I've got so many great artists, and you're one of them, you know? So, I don't really know much about Caden and the artists he finds. Did you find him, or did he find you?
I met Caden through my label.
Okay.
So my label's Big Records.
Big Records, yes.
And so Caden does radio promo for Big Records. So that's with the label, we get 3 singles where Caden supports us on radio promotion.
Yeah.
So that's how I started working with Caden. Yeah.
Nice. Yeah. He's such a good guy. You know, like I said before, he's such a great artist, and I think you're great too. Especially because of so Honey, the new song Honey is your newest single, right?
It's one of my new singles.
I've released
3 songs in the last 6 months, I guess.
Right. Yeah.
Honey was the first one I released.
Right.
When I relaunched my music career. Then since then I've released Get to You and then also Come Around.
Yeah. And those all were released this year, 2025, you know, right?
Yeah. Like within a couple months of each other. Well, actually, Get to You and Come Around were only within a few weeks it's interesting that you mentioned that, you know, your noble purpose for the podcast is fighting depression through music.
Yeah.
Cause that's something I'm very, passionate about
is
mental health. So I actually released that song Come Around cause it tells the story of kind of my struggles with mental health. And the chorus is a mantra that I use and say to myself in order to kind of bring myself kind of back to normal from these panic attacks and anxious situations.
Right.
So I released that song to go along with an event that I was doing called Dance Away Depression. And we're still doing the event, but we had to postpone it. But that's good because we actually got some new sponsors and some other people that are interested in working on the event with us. So we're looking to make it bigger than it was going to be. But that song Come Around was released to support that event, almost like a theme song.
Yes.
So that's why it was more of a quick release. We didn't do too much press on it. I just put it out there because I wanted it to be part of our promotion and just more along the lines of getting the message around depression and anxiety and bringing people together in a community that can support each other. that suffer with mental health and depression issues. And I was hoping this song would kind of help them get through some of those challenges. Yeah. So that's the story there.
Yeah. I think that music has a way of telling the story without actually telling the story, if you understand what I'm saying, you know, because there's many, mm-hmm. many songs that you could gravitate towards more, you know, that means so much to you, as opposed to it might not mean that much to me. You know, it's certain songs that does that, you know, and I think that your song Come Around revolves around depression, and there could be many, many people that listen to it and like, you know, feel better about themselves, having you made it, you know?
Yeah, that's my hope, for sure.
Yeah.
Kind of put my heart on my sleeve on that one, but I really hope that in doing so, it helps people, because, man, depression can be brutal. Anxiety, yeah. panic, all that type of stuff. And, you know, I love it when, and there's lots of artists that talk about their depression, you know, like, yeah. or their struggles and challenges. And I think you can find kind of peace in that, because what the one thing that I found when I was going through my struggles with mental health and panic attacks and depression and stuff like that was I felt alone, like nobody understood me, right? And that I was kind of fighting alone. So when you hear other people talking about it, singing about it, communicating it, then it just makes you feel like there's others out there that are going through the same thing. And, you know, you don't feel so alone. Right. And you don't feel so, I guess, ostracized and weird about the situation. Like, oh, is it just me? Like, what's wrong with me kind of thing? Mm-hmm. Makes you feel a lot more supported, I think, as a human being.
Yeah. Yeah. Depression. I 100% agree with you on that. You know, depression is a weird beast, because you can be in a crowded room filled with like many, many people and still feel alone, you know?
Yeah.
And I think that, now more and more people are starting to, study it, talk about it, and help people with it, you know? Because back in the 80s and 90s, you know, because I was born in 80, people would just say, oh, what are you doing? You know, get over it, you know? A lot of people didn't understand, right? Yeah, a lot of people didn't understand anything back when it was, you know, 80s and 90s, you know? So I think,
absolutely,
the more you talk about it now, we're more open to studying it better, I guess you would say, you know?
Absolutely. Yeah. Yeah. And it starts with a conversation. So
yes,
I think the more we talk about it, the more we communicate about it, the better it makes everybody feel about it. Right.
Right.
Especially with men, like, because we're supposed to, there's that sort of stigma or archetype that we need to be kind of big men and we need to have everything under control and we need to take care about every situation. And we tend to bury our feelings because we don't want to show you know, the chinks in our armor, so right. to speak, or any weakness, right? Yeah. So and the crazy stories, man, like of guys who, like, you know, you think they're totally fine, they're totally normal, and then they take their lives, you know what I mean? Or yeah. people that you emulate, like Chester Bennington and Chris Cornell and Robin Williams and all these people who most people will look at them and be like, man, I wish I could be that guy. Yeah. And then look how far they fell. Right. And nobody knew. It's crazy.
I think we're not totally aware yet of the science, because I'm sure they gave all the science that they could, but nobody actually sat down and listened to them, you know?
Yeah. And that's the thing, is that what I learned is, I mean, it can be substantial, like it can be something that's like happening in your life or whatnot, but it also can be like a chemical imbalance in your brain. And the thing that was causing me anxiety and panic attacks and whatnot was it was the chemical imbalance, right? Because it just came out of nowhere. Like, I'm typically a confident person. And then talking to the doctors and figuring it out, it's like, it's actually like these, it's your neurons in your brain are firing weird. And it's like an imbalance in your brain. It kind of, what happens is your brain starts to trigger that fight or flight right?
Yeah.
Like stasis and that's what happens a lot of the time. And the people that are saying, oh, you know, you're fine, get over it or whatever, they don't understand. Like, this is actually an affliction.
Right.
Like, if somebody was having a heart attack, you'd be like, you're fine, get over it, right? Yeah. Like, they wouldn't. But if it's a panic attack, they're like, get over it. But yeah. It's you can't. Like, it's your body is going to do what it's going to do. Your brain's going to do what it's going to do, right?
Right.
Yeah. There's ways to calm your body down. There's breathing techniques, and there's all kinds of different things that you learn along the way. But, you know, when you're first trying to manage this stuff and you don't know what it is before you're educated around it, it can be quite scary, and especially not knowing how to manage it, right? And where it's coming from. Everybody will tell you the first time they have like a panic attack or something, they're like, I thought I was going to die. I thought I was having a heart attack. Yeah. A lot of people check themselves into the hospital.
Right.
And the doctor comes and goes, you had a panic attack. And you're like, what?
You're young. You should have it. You know, you shouldn't be having a panic attack now, you know?
Yeah.
But I don't really have the statistics, but I heard, so forgive me, this is not true. I heard that more men go through suicide than women do, you know. Because I know that a lot of men don't get the affectionate part of stuff. You know, I don't know what I'm trying to say. Do you understand what I'm trying to say?
Yeah, for sure. For sure.
Yeah.
And I mean, that's not to downplay women's struggles either. Like,
No.
Deal with panic and depression, anxiety too. I just think that they're more apt to talk about it because women are a lot more connected to their feelings and their emotions and be a lot more sensitive than men can, right? So they're more likely to kind of communicate and figure things out, where men sort of ignore things, depending on the men. Like, well,
yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
But I mean, and you know, if you look at the statistics, right. It's usually men for suicides and things like that. Right. So, But yeah, so I'm definitely a champion for mental health, and the Dance Away Depression event was a way to raise money for an organization called Mind Your Mind, which is here in my hometown, London, and they focus on helping youth with depression. I'm also a father, so I think it's important to take care of our kids, our children. They're our future, I just love them so much, right? And want them to be happy and healthy. So what this organization does is it helps provide resources for the youth that are suffering with mental health and depression. They have a Get Well app, which gives lots of different resources. There's people they can connect with to talk to and things like that, right? So, and when you look at all the cyberbullying and stuff that's going on too, like just brutal. So, definitely a champion for that. And it's my noble purpose for being a musician, for sure.
Yeah. Stayed on the subject about depression, and going back to your song, Come Around, which is the theme song, for it. So when did you know when to write the song? Were you writing it during depression or did you like write it?
No, I didn't write Come Around until much later.
Okay.
Like much, much later, after I'd kind of conquered depression.
Nice.
And that's why it's a bit like, if you listen to it, the chorus is, it's a positive mantra, right? It's essentially a way to you know, I think about the expression, it'll pass, which, you know, I have a friend who's got that tattooed on her hands. But it's the same kind of thing, right? That if you can just hold on, if you can weather the storm, that things will get better. And the chorus is, the chorus is, I'm in my body. I've got both feet on the ground. I'm standing strongly. Won't be long until I come around. Mm-hmm. And what that is for me is it's about, cause one big thing with anxiety and panic, at least for me, is what's called depersonalization, or otherwise known as vertigo. And that's where you feel like you're kind of outside looking in, you're having that out of body experience. And so for me, that was my experience. And that's where that chorus comes from, in the sense that, like, you almost have to tell yourself that that you are of this earth, almost, like, you, right. you're still here. You're strong, you know, and if you kind of hold fast, if you anchor in, then the storm will pass. Right. And, I think that's something that everybody kind of needs to hear, that it's not going to last forever. If they can just find it within them to bunker down and withstand it, that there will be better days ahead.
Yes. Yeah. Oh, because a lot of people don't know that it's not happening to just them. You know, it's a lot of people, you know, that suffer with depression, you know? So I just feel like, you know, I'm getting that message out there and tell everybody that it'll be okay with music, you know? And that's why I started this podcast, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And we'll think about it. I mean, you think about getting away from depression, but, like, just sadness in general, like, you know, people use music in so many different ways. Some people, if they're sad, they listen to a sad song. It actually makes them feel better.
Right.
Because maybe they relate with it. But then there's people who will, you know, put on, like, the heavy metal and just, like, wild out, right? But that helps them feel better.
Right. Yeah.
Or maybe it's a catchy pop hook that they like to sing along to, and that makes them feel better. So, yeah, I'm a huge music. I mean, saved my life. Like, yes. I was bullied in public school. You know, I had some sad days, and by writing and playing, that was my way of being able to get my angst out, get my feelings out, and turn them into, like, a positive outlet.
Yeah.
And make sense of everything that was going on with me. Right. If I didn't have music, like, I don't know what other avenues I would have turned to.
Right.
You know, and I don't have a crystal ball or whatnot, but it could have been worse.
Yeah.
You know, right.
For sure.
I could have started maybe acting out or going down a bad path or whatever, but music always was able to kind of keep me leveled out and sane, in a sense.
Right.
Just because it was almost my diary, right? Like, some people write diaries about what's going on, but with me, I told my stories and I guess expressed my woe through songwriting. And it's so cathartic. It's always been cathartic for me. Whenever I have something on my mind, you know, I'll turn it into a song. I think I, you know, even, like, I recently saw Benson Boone, who's phenomenal. But his song, In the Stars, that's a really sad song, right? It's about his grandma passing away. But he said he was going through hell, because they were very close with the grieving and everything. But once he wrote that song, it kind of gave him closure, and he was able to move past where he was in the grieving process and start to heal. And that was, and so from writing that song, that's how powerful songwriting can be, I think, to any songwriters. And I think that's one of the reasons why we do it as songwriters, is that it allows us to take stock in what's happening to us and turn it into something that gives us clarity and allows us to move forward.
Mm.
Yeah.
That's really well said. No. I want to talk to you more about Honey Song, because I've heard a lot of songs in my life, and there's certain songs that gets me happy instantly from listening to the first chorus, first verse. And, dude, your Honey Song really got me, like energized loop to hear it, you know?
Oh, I appreciate that. Thank you.
Yeah. And I noticed you are a indie rock artist, you know? But that sounds kind of like a pop song, right? or am I totally like overlooking it?
I don't know. I mean, I've got three songs released now. There's plenty more music coming.
Good.
I'm all over the place.
Right. Yeah. Okay. Perfect. Yeah.
I just love music.
Yeah.
And I love so many kinds of music, and I grew up on so many kinds of music, but I'm also almost a student of modern music. And so I get like really kind of excited about if I hear certain songs,
right,
and want to be influenced by them. But that being said, you can't kind of escape your influences. And I'm a child of the 80s.
I am too. Yeah. That's great.
Yeah. So like 80s, 90s, right? Like when I first started listening to music, it was Bon Jovi. It was Michael Jackson. It was Weird Al Yankovic. It was like super, you know, Alias, stuff like that. Right. And then at the same time, you know, I was listening, my dad was always like playing classic rock in the house. So the Beatles and Van Morrison and all these types of, you know, stellar, iconic musicians. And so I set out to always write something that I hope can stand in modern times, like it can be played on modern rock radio or modern pop radio or whatever.
Right.
But it always tends to have a bit of a nostalgic throwback 80s kind of rock feel behind it. Like it's like you just can't escape your influences, I guess. Mm. So that's how. So I mean, and I do love, I love synthwave. So, you know, I love like what The Weeknd does and some of the new Benson Boone stuff and stuff like that, where they're bringing in that sort of 80s vibe into rock music and stuff like that. So I, you know, that's kind of what I set out to with Honey was, and there's a bit of my punk influence in it too, with kind of the muted chords and stuff like that as well. Cause like I grew up playing in punk bands and stuff like that as well. So that song is just a plethora of I guess like a lot of my different influences as an artist. Like it has pop rock, it has 80s vibes, it has a little bit of indie to it, a little bit of punk.
But a bit of everything really, you know. Yeah.
That's kind of how it came together, right? Mm-hmm. At its core, I think it's a pop punk song. But the production is kind of like synth wave modern 80s style behind, like almost like a modern Cars or something like that. Mm. But you know, like I said, I love everything. Like I'm going to be dropping a single that's kind of like a Michael Bublé-esque type of song, like more swing kind of jazz, but again with the modern vibe to it. I like folk a lot. Like, so I have a few songs that kind of lean on folk, style. Yeah. I'm kind of all over the place. Yeah. So yeah. Pretty eclectic as a musician. I guess you could compare me to like a guy like Ed Sheeran that has a lot of different styles of music. And when Ed Sheeran does an album, it's like, you're not going to hear the same song twice, right?
There's always, right. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. That's kind of like what I do is like, and it depending on the lyrics of the song or the melody of the song or the flavor or the context of the song, I just go with it. Whatever kind of feels right for what I'm trying to put across. And it depends. It just depends on what the vibe is and how it goes. And I usually kind of let the music speak to me. Like I don't set out to really do anything in particular. I kind of let the music lead me a little bit too, right? Which is why I think all my influences always come out.
So you know how you can say one word and instantly brings back memories, you know. The moment you just said synthesizer or synthwave.
Yeah.
It reminded me of the Flock of Seagulls back in the 80s, you know?
Oh, yeah.
That's great. Oh yeah, yeah. So it's weird. My brain is like, you know, you say one thing and it totally goes into another dimension and brings that, you know, I do that with anything, especially music, you know, because music has a way to bring back memory and good times, bad times, you know, times that get you through stuff, you know. So
for sure,
yeah.
And I think that people, when it comes to music, people love nostalgia. I mean, one song that comes to mind is like Journey, right? Don't stop believing. Like, you know, you hear that song and everybody just goes crazy, right? And that song's been around since the 80s, but it still stands the test of time today.
Yeah.
And I think it is because of how they captured that moment in time with that recording and that band. It was just like, you can't think of like the 80s without Don't Stop Believing, right? Like
that's one of the songs.
Or do 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 do. Take On Me.
Yes. Uh-huh.
Again, like that's another where it's like, again, it's old.
Right, yeah, but it's
like 45 years old, but you play that in any bar and everybody's going to be like, I love this song. Everybody goes crazy,
yeah.
And I think one of the, it's good, the music's good, but I think it's also because it reminds them of their childhood or their first boyfriend or whatever it might be. It takes them back to kind of a moment in time or a memory. And that's why that music, when it's nostalgic like that, like really kind of hits. Yeah. Right. New music is great too. I love new music. I'm always looking at new music. But the thing about new music is that there's no attached experiences or memories to those songs. Right.
Right.
And so I play, when I perform right now, I play a lot of cover songs along with my originals. And that's because I understand that people appreciate familiarity, things that are familiar.
There you go. Yes.
Because
I talk to a lot of independent musicians and they always say you got to do covers to get them in, and then when they're in, then you can unleash your own songs, you know.
Yeah, a lot of the time.
Yeah. A lot of times. But okay, so as it be this, if you don't mind, when is the song Perfect Timing going to be available for streaming? You know, because that's just a beautiful song. I saw that on your YouTube channel.
Oh,
yeah. Yeah, I don't know when that was recorded, but that's
a beautiful song. That's part of an album I'm working on.
Okay.
Called The Incident.
Right.
So,
but it's going to be available soon, right?
I am going to record it.
Okay.
For sure.
Yeah.
It's finished. It's ready. I have to produce it.
Yeah.
So I do all my own production, right?
Right. Yeah.
So yeah, I have to produce it. I have to finish it. But, I mean, there's so many songs. I think I'm going to release. I teased a song on TikTok called Fall.
Okay.
I don't know if you were on my TikTok, but it was like maybe the third video I posted, third last video I posted or whatnot or whatever. I think I might release that song soon.
Okay.
Because it's been a couple months since my last release.
Yeah.
Then I actually have a Christmas EP to drop.
I love Christmas EPs. Yes. So great, dude. You know. So
I'm going to drop that in probably mid-November.
And it's weird that a lot of Christmas stuff is like now coming out and it's only in September, you know, not even September. And you'll see all the Christmas trees. Oh my God, can we get past Halloween first, you know, or Thanksgiving, you know, before Christmas? But I adore Christmas music
Yeah, I'm looking forward to that one. It's four songs. I thought actually I have a couple of songs that I could drop for Halloween, but I don't know if I'll have time. Yeah, and then from there, I have a finished EP. So my second single called Get to You is part of an EP called Chest Pains, which is a 4-song EP. So I'm thinking of early in the new year releasing that. And then I'll be finishing up that other album.
Right. Nice.
So yeah, lots of music to go. But
you'll be a busy guy, you know? Hell yeah. I love people when they're busy, you know, because I hate being bored. You know, I got to do something, you know. So coming out with all these great songs. So is there a lyric or title that you scrapped, not because it was bad, okay, because it felt like too raw or exposed to get it out in the wild right now, you know? And if it was, looking back, did you wish you could kept that title or lyric in there?
Sorry, what was that again?
Okay. All right. So what's a lyric or title that you scrapped because it wasn't a bad lyric, it wasn't a bad title, but because you feel it was like too raw, too exposed to the world right now?
So you're asking me if there was a song or a lyric or something that I decided not to expose to the world for whatever reason?
Yes, because it felt too raw to get it out there at the moment, you know? Like it was so personal, you're like, the world's not ready to hear this from me yet.
I don't really think there is.
Okay.
I have a song called Doomsday that I'm waiting to, Doomsday, and I'm waiting to release that too. And that's about kind of the state of the world.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. So so I'm going to release it for sure. And probably sooner than later, because the world is messed up right now.
Yeah.
People would resonate with it, but I also had a song. And again, I just haven't gotten, which was about one of those "Who Cares Who You Love" songs, kind of thing, there's a word for it, but diversity in love, right? It went further than that. It was actually, so the song is called Label Blind, and I'm a big believer that as a world, we're not going to be able to reach true equality until we stop labeling people.
Yeah,
because that's what we do, right? You know, we call people by color, we call people by sex, and it's even getting to the point where people are kind of creating their own labels as well and identifying themselves, which I get. It's important for you to have self-expression. And that's fine. But what I'm saying, when we call people by certain things, we group them into certain groups. And then in my opinion, that's where prejudice comes out, because we can't just be people. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
we can't. Right. We're there's always a label, a white person, a black person, a gay person, whatever. Right.
Yeah.
I don't think we need that.
No.
So I wrote this song about that called Label Blind. And I haven't dropped that one yet either, but those are two songs that are probably the most serious I've gotten when it comes. I mean, when I was in a punk band, I wrote so much political stuff.
Yeah.
Punk band, you
really didn't care because
it was. Yeah, yeah. But I released a lot of that stuff, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
But no, there hasn't been anything that I've been too nervous to.
Okay. Not yet.
I think,
yeah.
Well, because I'm not like with my music, I would never write a hate song. I would never like put anything out there that would like make somebody feel bad.
Yeah.
I'm more about helping the world and helping people see, you know, how we can potentially be better.
Right.
When I write more serious type songs, but I would never write like a really angry kind of like F you song that would make somebody feel bad. So I've never really been at that point where I'm like, should I put this out there? You know, so, but it's an interesting question. But it's no, it hasn't really ever happened to me.
Oh, but that's good. You know, cause a lot of when people or musicians get into like politics, especially politics, you know, you lose most of your fan base because they don't agree, you know, and I think music should be music is universal. And I think that everybody should enjoy music without being offended. I think that musicians within some limits can express their feelings, but not like they're not really angry towards one person, gender, color, you know. So, yeah, that'd be awesome if we just stuck to like, you know, good thoughts, you know, and you know, and going through stuff.
Yeah, personally, I'm all about good vibes. Right. Like, there's so much crap going on. Like, there's I don't know if you like, there's so much like this right left bull crap. Like, it almost feels like we're up against a political uprising or something.
Yeah, it's all,
and it's just and it's like, I mean, obviously I have my opinions and whatnot, but I'm not about to go online or write a song that's like going to be
totally political or something
like that, you know, hardcore, right? Like, that's just not me. I'm more about good vibes, like peace, harmony, equality, like, you know, diversity, you know. My thing is, why can't we all just get along, right? Like we, and I know it's easier said than done, but you know, my wish for the world is stop the hate, you know, and feed more into love and appreciate each other, right?
Yeah. I think that over, like, I don't know what the percentage is, but I think more, but I think people would want that to happen, but they just don't know how to get it moving forward, you know, to that more love and peace, you know.
So, I mean, it's an incredibly big apple to chew. Yes, right? Yes. I mean, I'm a believer that there's like true evil out there, right? And it's it's like if you think of harmony, right? You can't have good without bad. So it's like there's always going to be bad in the world. There's always going to be evil in the world. I think it's how we manage that and how we, I guess, compartmentalize it and turn something positive out of something negative if possible.
Right.
I'm a glass half full kind of guy. I always try and look at the silver lining of things, even when things are at their worst. But yeah, like I said, there's always going to be horrible, evil people out there. But there's on the flip side, there's great human beings out there too.
I'll guarantee you that there's more good people here on earth than there's bad people.
For sure.
The only reason why we think that there's more evil is because we listen to the news, you know. I don't have cable. I stopped watching, you know, the news and everything. I get all my information from friends and whatnot, you know, delivering stuff to me, you know. But yes, but there is a more good people on earth than one would think, you know, for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I've been burned, like, but I tend to try and see the good in people as much as I possibly can.
I'm the same way. Yeah. But sometimes you just gotta, you know, not deal with them, you know, because you can't fix everybody. You know, I've learned that the hard way, you know, and you can't help everybody, you know. So that's one thing in life that you have to be taught, I guess, kind of harshly, you know, because I've been taught that many times, you know, can't always help people that don't want to be helped, you know.
So, true.
And that also goes back to mental health, you know. So, all right. So, we're going to do some funny questions for you. Okay. I got like about five more questions to go.
Silly questions.
Yeah. So,
and then, all right, cool. Yeah. Bring them on.
All right. So
yeah, this has been a pretty serious conversation.
Time to lighten up. Right. All right. So if you could teleport your band to play a surprise gig anywhere in history, where would you be? You could go back to like ancient Rome, the 1920 jazz era, or even the moon landing party, you know, if there ever was one. Where would you take your band anywhere in history? Where would you go?
I'd love to play, like, I think it was Johnny Carson, like on his Tonight Show, where the Beatles first made their appearance in America.
Yeah.
Was that Johnny Carson, I think?
I think so, yeah.
I'd say mid-60s, playing on the Johnny Carson Show.
Nice.
Debuting my band. Yeah, I think that would be hype for sure. And it has a lot of nostalgia for me because I'm a huge Beatles fan.
Right, yeah. Nice. All right.
Yeah.
So pick one guilty pleasure snack or drink that always is in your tour bag wherever we go. And why is it your only go-to?
Guilty pleasure. I'm pretty healthy. I tend to.
But everybody has like cheat meals and stuff. You know.
But I do. Yeah. I just discovered them, but I like donuts and I like pie. And there's a little market about 20 minutes from here, and they sell these things called pie pockets, and they're essentially, they're like a donut pie hybrid. So they're kind of like have the consistency of a donut, but the outside crust is more of a pie. And then the middle has like fruit filling. And then it's like covered in sugar glaze and like cinnamon and stuff. And they have different flavors, like apple, peach, and raspberry. I love pastries like that. Yeah. That's kind of like Achilles heel.
Yeah. Honey buns and whatever. Yeah. Oh yeah.
Pies, turnovers, donuts, like all that stuff. Anything. That's you need to keep those things away from me because I'll eat the whole box if I'm left alone. So I would say that. Drink?
Yes.
Probably a bottle of bourbon. I do. And especially now because we don't have it in Canada. Tariff war. We banned bourbon in Canada. And it's my favorite. Yeah. It's my favorite alcoholic drink. So, yeah, if I want and that after a gig, you know, having a double of bourbon would be good.
There you go. Well, come to America, man. We'll come with a lot more, you know.
Yeah, I should start playing in America. Yeah,
that's right. Yes. And I got to meet you, you know.
So, okay. Yeah.
All right, so let's just say you have 30 seconds to make a mini playlist of three songs by other artists for like a late night drive or like a laid back situation. Okay, what's on your three song playlist?
Because
I'm always interested in like finding out new music from anybody, you know. I find that to be really, really relaxing for me, finding out what people like, you know.
Well, if I had to list like the top three songs I've been kind of listening to over and over of late, one would be, and it's funny because the first time I heard it, I wasn't a big fan, but for some reason, it's Old Phone by Ed Sheeran.
Okay.
Yeah, I've been playing that one on repeat quite a bit. I also like Play on his new album too, or not the not Play, the one Little More, it's called. I love, what else have I been listening to? Been going back to Loop, a track that Martin Garrix dropped like in 2020-ish.
Yeah.
Which is really good. Take My Breath by The Weeknd is like one of my favorite. So that song, he has a version that is like, what do they call it? It's where it's like surround sound. I can't remember what it's called now. It was hype for a bit. You don't hear it too much anymore. But anyway, the mix on that song, like you listen to it in headphones and it's like,
and it's like, it's you're right, you're actually like right,
around
yeah.
your head. And it's, yeah, it's a really cool one. Wanted Man by Benson Boone is a killer track. Yeah, there's a few anyway. That's a playlist. Yeah.
That's awesome. I'm going to look them all up when I get off. Yeah, because I'm always interested in what people like, what people don't like. You know, brand new bands that I've never heard of, you know, are they good or not that good? So thank you for that. You know,
I want a good heartfelt, soulful song. I would go with, this is an old one, but it's always been a song that's resonated with me, is Bad Timing by Blue Rodeo.
Okay.
That would be another one too. But yeah, I mean, there's so much good music.
I know, right? There's so many good music. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
There's a lot of bad music out there too.
But. Oh yeah, there's tons of,
I mean,
music. Yeah.
In my opinion, I mean, music is subjective.
Well, I guess it's all perceived differently, you know. So I guess better is about how your ears equate to me. You know, I don't know. You know, like
that's actually fascinating to me how
one
human being can like, I love this song, and the next human being can be like, this guy sucks.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And it's the same notes. It's the same, everything, but it's gotta be the way our brain processes it, or maybe our influences from when we were younger or whatever it is. Like, that's such an interesting psychological experiment to me, is like, why music resonates with different people in different ways.
Right. Yeah.
You know, it's crazy. Yeah. And then there's songs that are like everybody loves.
You it's like, don't stop believing, Journey. You know, everybody loves it. So it's like,
I've never heard anybody say, I hate Don't Stop
Believing. No.
I've never heard anybody say that, right?
Me neither. Yeah.
I mean, I'm sure there are.
Oh, yeah.
And then I think, you know, when you have a song that's played as much as Don't Stop Believing, some people just start to kind of hate on it because it's played all the time. Like, they're just sick of hearing it, right? That
that's
happens.
Like, that's like me and the song Free Bird, you know, because back in my 20s, I used to bar hop, and every time I went to bar, Free Bird, I'm like, come on, dude. You gotta let that song go, you know, but everybody loves it. You know, I don't like it anymore because it's all the time, you know, so I understand, you know.
That's why some artists they won't play.
Yeah,
I think it's Billy Joel. He won't play Piano Man.
Okay, and I've heard that Radiohead won't play Creep.
Yeah, exactly. Okay. And I think Nirvana stopped playing Smells Like Teen Spirit too, like, because it was just like they didn't want to kind of define them as artists, and they were just so sick of playing it. Like,
right? Yeah,
because I personally don't get that, because if I wrote Creep or Smells Like Teen Spirit or Piano Man or something like that, I would be happy to share that song with a fan base like the rest of my life, and be proud that I wrote such an amazing song and that people resonated with it so much. And I would almost be excited to play it for them because they're like, that's what they want. Like, you know what I mean? Like, I would love to write a song where people are just like, play that song. Right. Mm-hmm.
One more time.
Honey's kind of becoming that, like with my fan base, like Honey is becoming like the song for me that people want to hear.
Yeah.
So that's kind of cool.
Going back to what you said earlier about, it was like, you can't understand how people like one band and other people love it. You know, that's like me, because I love Green Jelly, Green Jello, you know, And my friend, he thinks that it's the dumbest band ever made, you know, but I love it, you know?
Yeah.
You know, so it's weird how that happens. You know, I don't know why it happens, but yeah. But she says it's the dumbest band alive. I'm like, no, it's not. It's the greatest band. No, it's not the greatest band, but it's, you know, it's up there. It's up there, you know? So, okay. So we do have two more questions for you.
Yeah, sure,
okay,
sure.
Okay, so we're going to go all the way back to the 80s, 90s, okay? I'm not sure how old you are, but we're going back to Craig Jameson's room back when you were a teenager, okay? We're looking at your walls. Are we seeing any musical posters? And if so, what are we looking at?
Yeah, like Michael Jackson, Bon Jovi. Like I said, like that was...
Right. That was it for you, right? Michael Jackson and yeah.
Like those kind of classic rock bands like Bon Jovi and then Michael Jackson and, you know, Weird Al Yankovic and I'm trying to think. Is there really like Alias back then?
Okay.
They were a big one for me. And I mean, as I got older, it was 90s. So you'd see like Stone Temple Pilots, you'd see Nirvana, you'd see, you know, Blind Melon, you'd see Pearl Jam, you know.
Yeah.
Pearl Jam. I was a huge grunge kid, huge. Like I idolized Kurt Cobain. Kurt Cobain is the reason I'm a songwriter.
Right. Yeah.
Like I saw that video for Smells Like Teen Spirit and I was like,
he just wigged out just like,
I want to do what that guy does. Like, I want to grow my hair long and I want to wear cardigans and I want to like scream in a microphone and thrash a guitar.
Yeah. I tell everybody now that I've always been a big Nirvana fan and that's not my number one band to go to. So I agree with you on that one. So
yeah. Yeah, he kind of changed my life. Like, yeah,
he changed it. He changed the whole spectrum of music, you know.
Yeah, he did.
Because when he came out, hair bands died off. You know, that's why Motley Crue and all these hair bands are trying to make it again, and they're not really doing it like they did back in 80s, 70s. You know, so it's all weird now. You know, which is I don't know if it's good or bad, but. It's not up to me, you know. So, okay, we got one more question, and this is the hardest question I'm going to ask you today, okay? Is there one song, artist, or album that you can listen to right now, but you can't tell me or anybody else how it makes you feel deep inside your soul? It means so much to you that you can't express it.
So you're asking me, is there a piece of music or an album or something that when I listen to, I'm like lost for words. Like
so much for you. You can't explain it, how it makes you feel deep inside your soul. I know it's hard, you know, a lot of people get stuck on this. Yeah. Or do you
think? I think the name that comes to mind is Steven Sanchez.
Okay,
I don't know if you know him. He should be bigger than he is. Like he grew up listening to the doo-wop music of like the 50s. But he's like in his 20s, so he's kind of modernized that. And so he's sort of a modern day doo-wop crooner influenced by like bands like the Four Tops and Elvis Presley and all these like super nostalgic doo-wop and crooner type music acts, right? And he's just so romantic. Like, and I listen to him a lot because my kids love him. They like to go to bed to him, especially my youngest daughter. My ex-wife and I really liked him, so we went to a few of his concerts, and he has the most soulful, beautiful voice, no matter what he's singing, whether it's more of kind of a a rockabilly type of song versus more of like a crooner type 40s, 50s type of song. And sometimes I just sit there in total awe of this kid.
Yeah.
Where I'm just like, the combination of his voice and his lyrics and the production, it's just so beautiful and so moving and so overwhelming that I would say, you know, I guess I'm describing it, but it leaves me a little lost for words, almost in the sense where I'm like, how, you know?
Right.
I have this joke, like I hear some musicians and I'm like, they almost make you think about quitting music because you're just like,
right. I'm like, I'm done. I quit. Yeah. Yeah.
You're just like, you know, it's just like, I'm not worthy. I'm not worthy.
Or
right.
See, like a guitarist with blues the other way. I was like, I'm done playing the guitar. You won, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. And Steven Sanchez is one of those guys. He just has it all. Yeah. He can play guitar. He can play piano. He has a beautiful romantic voice. He's a great performer too when you see him live and you know, yeah, I really idolize that kid. He's quite exceptional.
Nice. Well, I do want to thank you first and foremost for coming on the show today. You can come back anytime you want to.
Thanks, James. Yeah, it's been fun. Appreciate it.
But we're going to give you some shout outs here. Your website is Craig Jamieson. That's JAMIESON. At CA, that's Canada, for people who are not like, because like it's very rare that I see a CA instead of a com.
So yeah,
forgive me,
yeah.
About, you know. So,
yeah. CraigJamieson.ca, yeah.
Yes. And you're on Instagram under Craig Jamieson, but the O is a zero, I think, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, so it's Craig Jamieson with the O with a zero. I'm sorry. And then you're on YouTube. We got Craig Jamieson Sings on YouTube. It's great. You can hear the song called, let me go back up here. It's perfect timing. The song that I really want him to give us sometime in the future. So, and before we go, can you tell everybody where they can find Mind Your Mind organization at?
Yeah, it's just mindyourmind.ca. It's another Canadian
website. Okay, perfect. So,
yeah. Mind, MIND, your mind, MIND.ca. Right. Yeah.
Perfect. Yeah.
Well, absolutely. Yeah, check it out. They do some great stuff.
Yes, sir. So please come back.
And check out Dance Away Depression. Just Google Dance Away Depression as well, because that's like my charity, essentially. And the idea behind that is putting on musical events. Yeah. Where the money we raise from the events goes to Mind Your Mind and helps out other resources for mental health. But also it's a supportive community for people who have to manage anxiety, panic, depression.
Yeah.
That's what we're all about there.
Yeah. One more thing before we go, I want to tell everybody else who's listening to this podcast to go to Apple Music or Deezer or wherever you get songs and download his songs, Come Around, Get You, and Honey. Honey is fantastic. I just love that song to death. And yeah. So yeah, we
thanks,
do
James.
Need to come back anytime you want to, okay?
All right, bud. Thanks. Right, really appreciate it.
Thank you so much, sir.
Okay.
All right. And everybody listening, always remember, when words fail, music speaks. Bye, guys.